Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world to take you on a weekly deep dive into classic matches along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
Excuse me. This is Tom, and as always, I am joined by my co-host, Jeff. Jeff, what's going on, man?
Hey, this is a great one. We got one of our most favorite guests, both between us and our fans. They love her, when we have her on here. So this should be great. I'm doing good, man.
Vicky back on The Payoff, and this is kind of a Vicky tribute show, because we're going to talk a lot about her, because this is her retirement match.
Anniversary of
her retirement match. This was 6 years ago. Man, it kind of feels longer, right?
It really does. So many of these things seem like they were, 10, 20 years ago, but then we realize it wasn't all that long ago.
Yeah, well, we'll get into what happened on this show, but if you see all the guys that were involved, then you're like, oh yeah, it really wasn't that long ago. But it's hard to believe she's only been off TV for 6 years. It kind of feels like it's been 10 or more, right?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, it's good though, and like you said, especially we'll go over some of the cards at this time, and just some of the names and kind of their infancy of when they were. It's exciting stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll give you the quick plug, as always, to make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Payoff Pod. That's at Payoff Pod. And by supporting the show and retweeting and sharing and liking all that fun stuff, that's how we spread the word. So we certainly appreciate you doing that. Jeff, just as a quick little reminder, tell everyone exactly how we do things here on The Payoff, and then we'll jump into it.
It's been a while since I've said it. And so, yes. So The Payoff, we give you a deep dive into a match every Monday. And of course, each episode has those three parts: the build, the payoff, the aftermath. What happened before, what happened during, what happened after the match. This is a special one because, of course, we have Vicky back with us. And so we have her to kind of talk through it and let us know what happened, so that we have that opportunity with The Payoff. So we're going to give our scores, a couple, at least write-ups, not reviews, but a few things happening there. So just exciting stuff on that front too.
All right, so I'll ask you first, why did you want to cover this, or what did you find interesting about this one?
This one, I think a retirement match just in general is interesting. I think that especially, and we'll get into it in the aftermath and our scores, just kind of how she went out was great. Yeah. But I don't want to spoil that, but there's some really good stuff there, kind of this how this played out and what happened there. So I think that, it's one of those few opportunities too of like how, we always talk about how a wrestler goes out when they quote unquote retire, and if it's on their back. And this situation was just a little different because that wasn't really, it wasn't really something that was going on, but it was still really cool to see how it played out.
Yeah. And it's interesting because, when I had first reached out to her and I was like, what kind of matches do you want to cover? Obviously Brock Eddie, like we had to cover that, no question. Right. The Ray, Eddie ladder match, the custody match. I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Like, a Ray match. I was like, is that one or the one they did in WCW? And then she mentioned this one, and I have to admit, I didn't even remember this happening. And the reason that I was excited to talk to her about it is because I could tell it meant a lot to her. And then, of course, as I watched it and talked to her about it, as you'll hear here in a few minutes, I was like, oh, I get it. Now I know why this meant so much to her. And it really was a send-off. Not everyone gets to leave on their own terms. And I can see why this meant a lot to her. So, Jeff, let's jump right into the build. So we're on a Raw. And it's You know, just a run-of-the-mill Raw. It's June 23rd, 2014. We're in Washington, D.C. in the Verizon Center. This happened to be the 1100th episode of Raw. I mean, I got to admit, it seems like half the Raws you watch, there's some historical significance. Like, this one just passed Days of Our Live to be the most episodic television show on cable in this era. I mean, yeah, so it's like there's a lot of them do, so sometimes they all blend together. And, man, WWE doesn't like to miss an anniversary, huh?
It's just, I feel like you're, the way you said it, yeah, it's like dead on. Like there's always some kind of, and everybody knows the line, like longest running episodic television show, you know.
Well, and you could just hear Michael Cole like, episode 1100, like, and you just roll your eyes, like, great, like, yeah,
right.
Anniversary. So
it's weird to think that you just had, what, the 1000th SmackDown or whatever it was. And so, and then this, you know, yeah, it's just, it's funny how, you know, eventually we'll see the, the 2000th Raw. I wonder what they're gonna do for that. Like,
I gotta tell you, man, I am still bitter, and you have to understand, like, this business has disappointed me so many times. Okay,
right.
Like, I get it, but I am still salty about how bad that Raw 25 sucked that I went to. So
yeah,
I may have mentioned this. It on here before. I take the red eye to New York City to attend Raw 25. Remember, that was broadcast both at the Barclays in Brooklyn, and then they did a simulcast at the Manhattan Center, which is where Raw started when I was a kid, and that's what I remember watching. So I'm like, how cool would it be to be in that building? I busted out my Ico Pro shirt. I knew that, like, not everything was going to take place in that building. I understood that. So, you know, they kick off the show with Austin and Barclays, and, you know, you're kind of annoyed that you have to watch it. But, you know, it just –
and be clear, you were at the Manhattan Center.
I'm at the Manhattan Center. And so you're watching a lot of it on screen. The stuff they did in the Manhattan Center kind of sucked. I mean, Taker was there, which is kind of cool. I was right by the entrance, so that was kind of neat. They did some blow off Matt Hardy Wyatt match that sucked. And then they did, you know, the 10,000th reunion of, you know, DX coming back, which I don't know. It was so disappointing, man. Well,
and that 24 behind the scenes or whatever it was good, where they showed, like, the Miz, like, told him, like, get in the car and go there because there just wasn't enough content. And you guys were like, and Twitter was blowing up during it. Like, people were so upset.
Oh, yeah. We were booing. I kept going to get another drink because there was nothing else going on, because, you know, you're watching matches on the screen, and it was disappointing, man. That was one of the most disappointing – actually, that was the most disappointing wrestling experience I've ever had. I mean, I've gone to some bad WrestleManias and stuff, but I've never gone to a show that, like, was so far below my expectations. I mean, you know, you're thinking, you might get someone, or maybe Austin will show up here later, or, you know, do they have a Hogan or someone that they're not bringing out? And, you know, I think that was the year we were hoping for Taker Cena, and we may even have gotten it, but we were hoping for the build at that show, and Cena didn't come out.
You had
there.
There was weird dark matches that you had too.
Yeah, I was
like
just,
the cruisers. Yeah, but they didn't show any of that.
Yeah, it was just all over the map. So, anyways, but my point is that, you know, we've had so many anniversaries over the years, and some of them really have sucked, and I am living example of that. So, anyways, on this Raw, I'm not going to go through everything that happened, but Jeff, what I thought was funny is there's a lot of AEW on this show, and what I mean by that is you had the Cody and Dustin Gold Dust Stardust bullshit. Okay, so they're on there doing a vignette or something. Okay, so there's some highlight there that I caught when I was watching this again the other day. Luke Harper's on there. Who
Rob
else
is gone?
Yeah,
like, gone. But yeah,
Van Damme's gone. You had you know, it's just a weird show. Like the
Jack
old Bray Wyatt, Del Rio. Again, it wasn't that long ago, but it certainly feels long ago. Oh, Swagger was on there. You know, so it's just odd. But I mean, it's interesting that, like, almost everyone on this show, and I guess it's only 6 years ago, but it's like everyone on this show is still to the best of my knowledge, wrestling and in the business and around.
Alberto Del Rio when he shows up.
Yeah. So, yeah, just odd. I mean, the main event, Cena, Reigns, and Sheamus against Del Rio, Wyatt, Cesaro, and Orton, 4-on-3 handicap match. What we're building towards is Money in the Bank. And this is coming off of WrestleMania 30. Daniel Bryan had to relinquish the title because of an injury. God, I forgot how quickly that happened. I mean, he barely even had a title reign. And then, of course, when he won the Intercontinental title, he barely had a title reign because that's when he had to, you know, step away from the business for a few years. So that guy's been snake bitten multiple times. But just some interesting things going on here. Again, this is the beginning of the network era. What I found interesting is – they did over 100,000 buys of Extreme Rules on pay-per-view in May of this year, okay? So they're coming off this Extreme Rules pay-per-view, and they did over 100,000 buys. Now, 40,000 were in the U.S., but again, that's still 40,000 people that were like, I either can't access the network or I don't have a smart device or whatever it might be. I'm going to pay $40, whatever, for this pay-per-view. It just blows my mind. And I've said this before on here, I'll say it again. I'm just surprised more people aren't subscribers of the network. You know, you have your diehards, but it's like, man, I just don't understand how they don't have a higher base. They've got every pay-per-view from the past, every current one. You throw in the Saudi shows, all the documentaries. There's the Austin podcast. Like, man, there's plenty for $10 a month. I mean, I'll go 6 months without watching Hulu or HBO sometimes, and I pay $10 for those. So I'm just surprised there's not more traction on the network. And it's like, I know it's easy to bag on the WWE, but when you look at the network, like on a scale of 1 to 10, what do you give it?
Probably like a 7, 8, like, you know, and because it's, if nothing else, you know, it's great to have the pay-per-views because imagine just how much money we're saving. That's why, like, yeah, like, I'm never going to cancel my subscription because I'm also not going to spend, and you and I talked about this the other day, like, I'm not going to spend $50 on an AEW pay-per-view. Like, that's a barrier. Like, it's just not a thing. And so having that, and then we've always, like, the vignettes they do just out and like a regular show, but like the behind the scenes stuff, like, I crave that. Like, I would, if it was all that, I'd give it like 10 out of 10 because,
well, yeah, I love it. And you're right. So I'd put it higher. I think the network's like an 8.5. I think they do far more right than wrong. I think it's the best thing the company does, arguably, is the network and how easy it is to consume everything they've done. Like, to the best of my knowledge, you can't do a $10 NFL app and get tons of documentaries, every game from the past, like every Super Bowl, just everything right there, right? So I think they do a phenomenal job. I don't think UFC has anything that's as robust as what they have. That being said, you know, I still think, yeah, if you had to make it better, there'd be more of the behind-the-scenes documentary stuff. I mean, to me, I'd love more of those Austin podcasts. You know, Jericho did a few of them. Like, give me someone that would be great. I mean, you could throw a Bruce and Conrad show back on there. I don't know if that'll ever happen, but I'd say more of those kind of video podcast interview type stuff, and then, of course, some more of the documentary stuff. So it's just like more of the same of what they're doing might improve it. So anyways, that was interesting. Another interesting thing, Jeff, I'm going to say a name and ask you if you remember it. Do you remember the Reddit user Dolphins1925?
I do not.
Okay, so this is 6 years ago. I wonder if any of our listeners remember this. This was a dude that would post on Reddit before every pay-per-view, and he'd put the results.
Interesting.
And so, and he was always right. I mean, big matches, like everything, okay? Like every show. And then the betting lines would react. So the betting lines were always like, if you went on to like look at the betting lines, you knew who was going to win every match because it was accurate. And they did this for like 15 straight pay-per-views or something. This went on forever. I obviously didn't look because I'm a mark and I like to be, you know, I don't like spoilers. I tell you that all the time. No spoilers. But
right.
But yeah, so then finally, so then this Money in the Bank pay-per-view was the first time in like 15 pay-per-views that this guy wasn't right. And so I don't know if it was a guy who worked for it. I don't know if we ever found out. Maybe you can look at that. But it was just crazy. So this Money in the Bank pay-per-view that was coming up was the first one that wasn't. Like I said, Cena wins the Money in the Bank. This was getting us to SummerSlam 2014, which was the Suplex City match. The one where I didn't realize they went. How long do you think that suplex match was? at SummerSlam where Lesnar just pounded Cena.
15.
It was maybe 16 minutes long. I didn't realize it was that long. So it was a long match, but he just beat the shit. Because
I remember the suplex is just taking forever, like, and it's just dragging. Yeah, I do remember that. But that, I'm not surprised. Yeah.
And what I found was interesting about that is Keller headed into SummerSlam was speculating. He's like, I'm guessing they're going to do Lesnar Cena, but I can't imagine they're going to put the title on Lesnar because how could they do it with him being part time?
Yeah.
You know, welcome laughable at this point. Oh my goodness. Yeah, laughable at this point. But it was just funny at the time they were thinking, you know, they weren't, I guess that's when they first put the world title on him, and that's coming off the Taker match, man. Anyways, that was an interesting show. We'll cover it another time, I'm sure. It was not the best SummerSlam, man. You know, just some blah matches and just not a lot there. It was just kind of interesting. But anyways, that's all I have. Let's talk storyline. Give us a little Vicky history.
Yeah, so like you already said, it was June 23rd, 2014, Monday Night Raw. That was when the match occurred. But we got to go back almost like 18 months when it was actually October 22nd, 2012, an episode of Raw where Vince McMahon, he actually named Vicky Guerrero as the new Raw managing supervisor, general manager, or whatever you want to call it. So a lot of different things kind of played here that eventually like played into her later career. So I've got just some bullet points for everybody on some of this stuff. And so it was about 2 months later, December 10th episode of Raw, Guerrero actually beat AJ with the help of Brad Maddox, who is a special guest referee. That'll come into play a little bit later with AJ.
Forgot about that dude.
At the Tables, Ladders, and Chair pay-per-view, she actually helped Dolph in a ladder match against John Cena, who, again, she was attacked by AJ. She had betrayed Cena. He helped Ziggler win. It was a whole thing. And so,
hey, let me cut you off for a quick little John Cena thing. And I know he's not totally retired, but can I tell you something that's interesting?
What's up?
He never really put anyone over. Like, I know he's like semi-retired right now. I know he like kind of put Wyatt over at WrestleMania. Like, I know he took the suplexes from Lesnar, but it's just funny that, like, I don't know, he never really ever got anyone younger over. Like, I know he jobbed to Wyatt, Lesnar, you know, Taker recently, but like, when did this guy ever put over the young star? When did he ever really get anyone over, per se?
I'm just saying, you think of
these like big stars. It's like, okay, yeah, Hogan put over Goldberg and shot him to the moon. You know, Shawn obviously put over some guys. Austin lost on his way. I mean, you go through all these guys, like Taker's lost some big matches. Like, who did Cena ever really get over? You know, when he could have put Rusev over, when he could have put Wyatt over, he didn't. And there's probably a lot of other guys along the way.
When they talk about, even now, like, you know, there is no superstars to come up. And you make an interesting point. Like, you know, there's no
superstars. That's a great conversation. Why aren't there? Why aren't there? Because you didn't make them all those years.
Yeah, yeah. Who was the guy that was the leader at that time? Like, and you and I deal in our shoot jobs like that. If you're not grooming the next person, what are you doing?
There absolutely, I completely agree that there is no star even remotely comparable to Cena, let alone, you know, Austin or anyone like that. But you have to look at, I mean, we're talking in this show, we're talking about 2014. I mean, think about these 6 years. Where was your op? And I'm not saying Rusev necessarily was the guy. I'm not even saying Wyatt was the guy. But, man, I got to think that he might have been the guy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, but there, you just never, I mean, God, you know, even if you would have just made Reigns that badass heel, maybe he would have, you know, eventually the fans would have turned him and he would have been the guy. But it's such a great point. It's not I don't begrudge Cena for it necessarily, but the point being is that, man, we, in this era that we're talking about on this episode, 2014, we did not make stars. Now, fast forward 6 years later, you and I talked about it this week. Like, what's going on in the current product you're excited about? You know, and I know it's, you know, we're not in front of crowds and all that stuff, but I mean, it's just a really interesting point, right? That,
yeah,
they're not able
to pivot. Yeah.
If you don't have the big stars you care about, it's hard to hook people to the product. Like, we sat through some really shitty Austin storylines because we just love the guy so much. You knew that certain heels had no shot against him or against Hogan, but you love them enough that you're like, all right, I'll pay $30 to watch Steve Austin beat the shit out of whoever it might be.
Yeah. So. Right. Absolutely. Yeah. So Cena, legend maker. Yeah. Where was I? Okay. So you had, now you've got Cena and Guerrero. Yeah, there we go. The next night, so after you had this Dolph Ziggler, AJ, Cena, Guerrero kind of thing. Yeah, Guerrero teaming with Cena. They beat Ziggler and AJ. It was they beat him by this DQ because Big E got involved. This was Big E Langston at the time. Yep. So now we're in 2013, February. Vicky, actually, she named Brad Maddox as her assistant, and they were Team Bricky, if you remember. That was, part of that, yeah. And so that was the thing. So all of that, though, but then you start now or mid-2013, you get the storyline with Vince and Stephanie and Triple H pressuring Vicky into using her authority a little bit more. So it was that summer. The fans, of course, we voted not in favor of Vicky, and so she was actually fired by Stephanie that week. So, of course, as all firings, that was July 18th. As all firings last a very long time in the WWE, it was July 19th that Vince hired Guerrero back again as the new general manager of SmackDown. If you remember, it was Brad Maddox. He was actually appointed as the new general manager of Raw. And so Vicky was then hired for SmackDown. So, of course, Vicky Guerrero and Brad Maddox carrying your storylines in WWE in mid-2013. Again, not making stars there. So, but this is when Guerrero was just like Eddie, just an absolute great heel, going after the fans. It was our fault that she got fired, just all these different things, just really playing it up. And so that later that year, it was November 18th, again, back to AJ. Stephanie forced a match, Guerrero and AJ, which she lost. So then we jump all the way to March 24th, 2014. Now we're getting a little bit closer to this June date in the match when this occurred, the retirement match. But Vicky, being the general manager, decided after AJ kind of put her down that Vicky was going to make AJ defend the title, and this was the Vicky Guerrero Invitational, WrestleMania 30. I don't want to forget about that. This was a almost 7-minute match. Some of the names in this one, a bunch of different women here. You had Oksana, Alicia Fox, Brie Bella, Cameron, Emma, Eva Marie, Layla, Naomi, Natalia, Nikki Bella, Rosa Mendez, Summer Rae, and Tamina. AJ ended up winning that one, but you can't overlook that one. And so you had Vicky and AJ feuding and kind of doing that. So now kind of fast forward a little bit, very close to this was the go home Raw, this June 23rd episode. But the week prior to that, Roman actually wanted to be included in the Money in the Bank match, or have that opportunity at Money at the Bank, for the World Heavyweight Championship. But the authority wouldn't allow it. And so a lot of weird different things. So Vicky kind of, going against them, put Reigns in the match, which he ended up winning. And so we've, kind of have like that angle. So her going back and forth between the quote unquote authority, all these different players. I threw a lot of names out. They'll come back around in the aftermath, but this kind of final straw was Vicky giving Roman the opportunity to participate in this match at that time, which that match was just it was the ladder match. It was the a big match. So yeah, he didn't win that one, but yeah, there was the whole thing. But so a lot of different things, a lot of different players, just things happening.
As you talked about that, the one thing, that I won't say I forgot, but it's just a reminder of is, man, Vicky was a great heel. And think about it in this day and age, man. Like, there's just not many great heels. I was even recently watching that Vice documentary on Dr. D, Dr. Schultz, David Schultz, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that dude was a fucking heel. There's just, and I understand it's a different time, but man, like, who's a great heel now? Like, yeah. I mean, there isn't. You could argue, you know, Jericho, AEW, like, he's doing some really good stuff. But my pushback on that is he's a babyface on his podcast. So I'm supposed to, you know, hear this guy, be nice, interview Matt Hardy on his podcast, who he's in a rivalry with, and, you know, be this really nice, fun guy, who I'm sure he is in real life. And then I turn on my TV and, oh, you know, everyone in this town sucks. It's like, dude, I know you're playing a character. And it's just, I wish that I could watch wrestling and be like, oh, this guy I think actually is an asshole.
Yeah.
Or even if back in the day you would have turned Cena, like just like when you turned Hogan, it's like, I didn't care about you fans. Like, I was just doing that, you know, to make money. And it was like, wait, is he serious? You know, you got lost in it, and it's I just missed that. So, anyways, great.
I want to be clear. I want to correct my. So Reigns didn't win that money. That was actually Cena's Money in the Bank win. I don't want Twitter blowing me up on that.
Yes,
one.
Yes,
Cena
yes.
won that Money in the Bank. But anyways, go
okay.
ahead.
All right. So that's it. That's all I have. If you want to watch the Vicky retirement match with us, I will tell you that you can watch it on the June 23rd, 2014 episode of Raw, and we are at the 1 hour and 21 minute mark. It's when she's backstage being interviewed, and again, that's the 1 hour 21 minute mark of the June 23rd 2014 Raw on the network. Jeff, it's time for the payoff.
Oh, it's time for the payoff.
All right, we are here with one of the greatest general managers of all time, Vicky Guerrero. Thank you so much for being here. I got to start off by asking you, who created this character? I mean, is it just you turned up to 12, or was there some real development that went into this character over the course of the decade that you were on screen with it?
Excuse me, Tom. Of course it was me. It's all me right there on the screen, all 36D of me. I'm all there. So of course it was me that developed the character. Oh my gosh, really?
And I'm sure that your daughters and Eddie never saw that part of you, right?
Sometimes my daughters are like, Mom, you're not on TV, okay? Tone it down a little bit. Yeah, so, you know, it was a fun character. It was, I believed in it, and every woman has their bitchiness. So I think every woman could relate of how to be the cougar and the manipulator and the person in charge. And it was just something really fun for me to be able to act out every night, you know. So it wasn't hard to reach in and get that evil side to me and, you know, use that towards the roster.
And you were on screen not long after Eddie passed away. Did that help with the healing process?
I think at first it was real difficult because – you know, that's the last time I worked with Eddie was in the ring, but to, for the experience and how everything works, you know, as far as camera and backstage and what they expected, it was really easy for me because it was the year before that, you know, I went to SummerSlam, you know, for the pay-per-view with Eddie and Ray. So to be back again, it was just, I want to do my best. I want to prove myself. So there was a lot of pressure on me because everyone thought, oh, she's getting the job because, you know, she was Eddie's, you know, wife, and they feel sorry for her. So I really had a lot of, you know, work to do in earning everyone's trust that I can perform in the ring and I can hold my own and I can memorize my lines. So there was a lot for me to work on.
You said that your first promo was a little rough around the edges. How did Dusty Rhodes help fix that and work with you?
God bless his soul. I miss him every day. But, you know, I did my first promo, and Dusty Rhodes was always there. He always mentored me, and he was around when I needed help. And I did my first promo, and when I came back, and I thought, oh, okay, I did pretty good. Like, I made it. I didn't trip. Everything's okay. And I came back to Gorilla, and he put his arm around me. He goes, sweetheart, that sucks so bad. And I'm just like, oh, no, I'm going to fail. But he worked with me, and I went to the Performance Center a lot, you know, and he was always giving me pointers and just always a wonderful mentor to me. And I had other people that were helping me out too, you know. So I think people appreciated and respected me because I valued their opinion. I never thought of myself as being better than anyone else because we all put our pants on the same way. And I learned that from Eddie, was that be humble, because once your head gets big, it'll be taken away from you. And that's something that by the grace of God that I was able to enjoy and to love my character. But when it was all said and done, there's still respect to be done with everyone that's working around you.
I don't know how well you remember this promo, but that they're showing on the screen right now, but it was fantastic. I mean, it was excellent.
I love Stephanie so much. She is a person that I could study all day long just watching her work. And with us working together, you know, we share that that same familiar, you know, control, you know, and just by watching her face and her body, you know, language, I just fed off of that. And she's one of the few people that I never got nervous about. And I was honored to be able to work with her whenever the time came.
Well, I think it's interesting too, because a lot of the characters back down to her as the quote unquote authority figure, you standing up and saying, look, I'm your equal and I'm going to yell louder than you did. It was a really interesting component. I mean, you two worked really well together in that sense. It was different than how a lot of people were presented. My question is, do you think it confuses people at all that, you know, she plays this character, but then, you know, you see what she does in the quote unquote real world. She's obviously a very nice person, does a ton of charity work. I mean, do you think that sometimes confuses people a little bit, that we see the TV and the reality, or do you think it just doesn't matter?
You know, I think people need to divide, you know, the reality from the fictional character. We all have lives and we all have our love for community service outside the ring, you know, and Stephanie is a great example that she's a great character on TV and she plays the role well, but then outside of the ring, you know, she's part of this corporation that wants to outreach to community projects and to be the philanthropist, you know, to donate money and to be part of the cause, you know, for a great, you know, organization. So I think she's a great example of that. But, you know, she's been performing for so long that she, you know, here, you know, she just manipulated me thinking, I thought I was going to really wrestle her. And I thought, this would be a piece of cake. You know, it's just me and Stephanie. But when she brought out these three, you know, divas, I was just like, oh my gosh, she got me again. And this was my last night, you know, so of course there's going to be like this hiccup that things aren't going to go as planned, you know, so all day long I'm thinking it's just me and Stephanie. And, you know, so for her to, you know, plan this, you know, outnumbering game, you know, I was pretty upset with her.
So you gave your notice a full year before this. What prompted you to retire? Because I'm sure some people say you're on TV, you're probably making a nice living, you weren't working house shows. What prompted you to say, I'm going to pivot to something else in life?
Well, there was a point, you know, the last 2 years where I was in the locker room more than I was on the stage. And to fly across the nation and to find out, you know, at 4 o'clock every TV that I wasn't on TV, you know, I have a reality that, you know, you need to know when is the right time to leave. And so I was in school at that time and I was doing my homework at work. You know, I was thinking, this is not making sense, you know, and I would want to be on stage. I wanted to be performing. But when you start seeing that I'm not being used that much, you know, to respect, you know, the McMahons and the product and the whole industry, you think, you know, maybe this is my time to leave, you know, where, you know, everything goes in a full circle, you know, it's busy and you're full of, you know, storylines and, you know, every week you're on TV, but then whenever it starts tapering off, you know, I've always, you know, felt that, you know, you have to know when it's time to leave. And I wanted a backup plan whenever I was, you know, going to leave wrestling, because you can't, you know, I still have my girls at home and I wanted to enjoy that was awesome. Poor Layla.
Oh, it's a fantastic segment.
But, you know, just I wanted to go back to school. Oh, that hurt. Alicia, she's great. And actually, this is supposed to be, you know, it was like dog food and like flour. And it actually smelled horrible, but it was a lot of chocolate flavoring to it. So it wasn't too bad smelling it, but it still smelled horrible. This is great. And I thought, at this point, I thought, I'm not going to be able to get Stephanie here because she's in a dress. Like, yeah. How can I put my boss in a mud bath in a dress, and Sherry took her shoes off, so you can see that we're setting this up. And I have mud. I'm losing my eyelash here. I can't see out of my eyes. I'm trying to hear for her voice so I can see where she's at. And she's singing this stupid song.
Well, there's a story that's around the internet that apparently Vince McMahon loves this song.
Yeah, he does, because every heel that gets kicked out is going to have that na 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 na. But you know, so for her to allow me to, you know, turn around and get my revenge, to get her and, you know, throw her in the mud bath, I was shocked, because I just, you know, I was humbled, because I didn't think they were going to do that for me on my last night. But to go back to giving my year notice, I wanted to have a plan to where I could graduate and have another job to fall back on, because I saw many of my colleagues, you know, they get released or fired or quit, and they didn't know what to do next. And so just through Eddie's experience and with mine, I wanted to be prepared, you know, and have that journey. And she's so great. I mean, her expression is just all of a sudden she just like tones it down.
Well, this has to be a big compliment to you, because it's not like she was, you know, stuff like this was happening to her on a regular basis.
She doesn't do this at all for a lot of people, you know, and for her to agree.
What, you and Ronda Rousey?
Oh, I would love to have been Ronda's, you know, manager. That would have been great. But, you know, for her to agree to, you know, be thrown in, and then she keeps falling in there, and she's... I mean, I wanted to cry, because I was so happy how everything turned out.
So this is what I want to ask you about. Everything that happens from here on out, tell us what's going on, what this all meant to you.
I didn't know they were going to play Eddie's music. I mean, they just told me go to the stage, you know, and say goodbye. And then, you know, I was going to just, you know, and when they played it, I lost my mind. And then I almost like, I don't want to quit now, because now this is fun again. Yeah. But, you know, to throw a kiss to Eddie and, you know, go with his shimmy and, you know, thank everyone. It was a lot of fun. It all made sense after I did it, you know, and it's, I miss it every day, but to see how they honored me with that, you know, retirement match is, I'm humbled, because they don't do that for a lot of people.
And what's going through your mind on stage at the end of this?
I don't want to go now. I don't want to leave. But if you see, there's some backstage footage where I am the girls and everyone's back there waiting for me. And of course, I get everyone dirty with the mud and hugging them. And it's just, you know, it's a big family back there. And it's bittersweet. You know, you're happy that you left on good terms, because I want to give the company, you know, a year notice, because I'm not going to be like some, you know, guy that's going to say, hey, I'm going to quit. You know, I'm not coming back. I think that's really horrible and unprofessional in any job that you have, you know, just to quit on the spot like that. And I really wanted to, you know, give them the opportunity, because I was a general manager and I wasn't, you know, I took my job, you know, seriously, and I cared about it, and I wanted them to have enough time to prepare, you know, what they wanted to do. So, you know, when it came down to my last WrestleMania and my last, you know, pay-per-view and here my last TV, you know, I was ready, you know, I was ready to, you know, say goodbye and, you know, start my life. So,
when it gives you an opportunity to cherish it, knowing it's your last this, your last that, versus, you know, it happening and going, well, you know, I didn't appreciate it enough. So I'm sure that that's great. So, you know, when I saw at the end of the match, you know, when you're on the ramp there, how I took this is, it was almost like you were saying to Eddie, we did it, you know, because not long after long after he passes away, you enter storylines, you're a performer for a decade. And it was just like, you know what? I bounced back. We did this together. I've tried to channel you in some of the work I've done. And I just thought that was a really special moment.
Yeah. You know, this is, you know, something that's special is that there was many nights that I did a lot of things on the show that I wasn't sure how good I could do it. Or I felt uneasy about a lot of things of how to do my promo or how to communicate certain verbiage, you know, with the other characters. And I always pictured Eddie in the corner of the ring, you know, laying across the ropes, and I could just see him smiling. And that always comforted me, because I knew that I had him in the ring always with me, you know. And I always pray to God and to him, you know, just saying, you know, just let me have my words and my mind and my body language all reflect of what it's supposed to be for tonight, you know. So he was with me through all the time, you know, to do any kind of promo or, you know, backstage scene, you know, I always made sure that I was making him happy.
What do you think your legacy is as a performer? I mean, it was a long run. It wasn't like you were there for 18 months. It was a long run. A couple of different times you were voted best non-wrestler. What do you want your legacy as a performer to be?
Gosh, you know, I don't know. That's a good one, Tom. My legacy would be that I took adversity and made it a positive. You know, aside from losing Eddie and being, you know, presented with this opportunity, I took it seriously. I wanted to give 100% because I love the company. I love the McMahons, and it wasn't something I took for granted, you know. So it was taking my ability and making my part of it, you know, the best that I could do. And so that's what I want to be remembered as, is that whoever I was working in the ring with, I gave them all my 100%, and I wanted to do the best for them. And so that was something that was important to be remembered by.
And what do you think Eddie's legacy in the business will be?
Oh my God. Priceless. Legend. Gosh, just a theatrical, charismatic, compassionate performer. I mean, just, he put everything into it. I mean, you know, he'd been training since he was 3 years old in the backyard of his dad's, you know, ring. And he watched his brothers and his dad wrestle, and it was in his blood, you know. And before I met Eddie, I hated wrestling. I mean, I was a cheerleader and a dancer, and, you know, wrestling was for guys. And dating Eddie, I started having that respect, and I started loving the business, you know, and being around it. I started, you know, get excited to be in it and be part of the family. So it's been a long road for me, and it's something that's always been my family, and it's given us a lifestyle that I'm blessed with. So it's just nothing but blessings, you know, to be a part of this industry.
So tell us what you're up to these days. Tell us what the future looks like for you. How are your daughters doing? Just give us a status update and tell us what the future looks like for Vicky.
Well, gosh, let's see. Where do I start? I'm still working with WWE. I still do performances, and I just finished Table of Three for the WWE Network with Kurt Angle and Eric Bischoff. And it is amazing. I can't wait for it to come out. It'll probably be like a year from now, but it's going to be really good. So I still work with them. I kept my doors open because it's, again, you know, my respect and love for them that I wanted to never want to burn your bridges, you know, where you worked. And I'm graduating in 10 weeks from Herzing University. I'm getting my bachelor's in healthcare administration. I've been recently signed with Paige Parks Agency for their acting, so I'm auditioning for commercials and possibly a feature film. I'm waiting for that opportunity. Gosh, and I'm working with the Salvation Army in San Antonio, Texas for the Family Emergency Shelter. So I go there about once every 2 months, and I bring the women clothing and bags of toiletries, and I sit down, I talk to them, and I share my story, you know, because a lot of them are going through their problems. So I just try and use my celebrity platform to let them know that I am human too, and I've been through some struggles, and it gets better when you have your faith and you have strength and you have a good support system. So I've gotten to know these women, and I see them when I go back, and now they're my friends, and it's something that's really special. And I'm also working with the Houston SPCA, so I volunteer there to try and rescue all the puppies and cats and the wildlife there and make the world a better place.
Well, so you're staying busy.
Yes, I am. Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic. And you know, what really brought a smile to my face as we've watched these matches together is, you know, it seems like you're able to look back on the past happily, fondly, a lot of smiles, a lot of laughs, and you know, you had a wonderful life up to this point, and I can't wait to read your book. But then just as importantly, you've got a lot going on. You've got a lot that the future is going to present to you. You've got, you know, daughters and family. And I think it's fantastic. So I'm so glad we were able to, you know, hear your story, watch these matches together. Hopefully our listeners learn some new things about you. And we look forward to the book when that comes out. And hopefully we can have you again at some point.
Thank you, Tom. I really appreciate your time. This was a wonderful experience. I love your concept. I wish you so much success, and I'm here to promote you just as much, and it's been a pleasure meeting you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Ho! It's time for the aftermath.
All right. What'd you think, dude?
How can you not love Vicky, you know? Like, just it just great. And, you know, kind of watching this one play out again. It had been a while that you and I had, like, definitely sat and watched that, you know, with her and kind of talking through it. And so just fun overall. No other way to cut it.
Some, you know, again, it obviously meant a lot to her, and I could tell why. What's interesting is, you know, it wasn't the most unpredictable thing. You kind of knew what was happening, but man, crowd went nuts. It was, the timing was great of it. It was pretty awesome. So I enjoyed it. Aftermath, what happens following this?
Yeah. So I call it what you want, be it mud, shit, pudding, whatever it was. Like, you know, the different reviews called it all kinds of different things. You know, it's kind of like that, was it the blood or whatever, and like recently, and you know, the dog food and all this crazy shit. But as you can see, a lot of different people that were kind of involved in the vet, or the Vicky Guerrero Invitational, getting involved in this match. You had Alicia, Layla, Rosa, like different people. And so ultimately, though, Vicky did lose this one. But as we could see, like, she got her retribution by throwing Stephanie in the pool of whatever as well, too. And so, and then one of just the absolute greatest moments for her, and literally like the crowd shifting and her from, you know, heel to face, like doing the Eddie Guerrero strut, put her over the moon, like just an incredible reaction, kind of having doing all this stuff. But this was really her write off of television, because she had requested her release a few months prior to this, because she wanted to get out of that. She had some other things that she wanted to do with her life. And so that's why she ended up doing this. So it was actually, though, that this June 23rd, Vicky Guerrero, she was fired, you know, kind of having that. And that, from everything I can see, is that, you know, because we're reading that, you know, she wanted to go out with a good storyline. And so that's why we kind of got a little bit more after WrestleMania and the Invitational. And so it was really nice. And so she had put on her Twitter after all this too. This was at the time, "The riot has come to a halt. I'm so grateful for the wonderful blessings in the last 9 years. Live, laugh, and love. Heading home to begin a new chapter of my amazing life. Thank you, Jesus." So, it really great how this just kind of played out for her. You know, you really can't deny like the ending that she got in this one. Of course, though, you did have her making various appearances. We always, you know, talk about the aftermath and kind of where her life led her, that it was actually just a couple of years ago, July 2016, she came back again. There was a brand extension. And so she ended up getting kicked out of the arena by security guards. A part of the fun part of this is, of course, she had all that aftermath way back in the day with, that build with Dolph back in the day. She denied knowing her. And so that kind of, you know, infuriated her. And so that was a part of that too. You also had her showing up in the Royal Rumble. She was entrant number 16. It was the first women's Royal Rumble. That was actually a very good show. Very good.
Really good women's Rumble.
Yeah. Very, very good. And so that was worth it. And so that, a lot of big names for that one. Didn't last barely a minute, but she had that. And so she actually attacked Carmella after, who had the money in the bank briefcase. And so Vicky got her. So just kind of fun how that played out. She's, you know, made a couple appearances. Most recently, though, she has said, and this was on her Twitter, that she was actually, it was a late December episode of AEW. She was the guest commentator on a dark episode. That's,
yeah, and she's in hot water for that.
And she has said since then that WWE has cut her off since. It was just a couple weeks ago, even after that, there was Virgil and you know, a couple others. She was on a video montage with that. And so she's making AEW appearances. You know, it will plug her podcast at the end here, but she has been interviewing a lot of AEW superstars too. And so it's a mix of a little bit of everything, but Darby Allin was on there. She had, you know, just some different people, Brandi Rhodes. And so, you know, just kind of, you know, she's still got her hand in that cookie jar, which I think is great, but I think it's shit, you know, WWE to cut her off like that, but that's Vince is going to Vince, you know?
And it's so, just, it is funny when it's like, they're not using you for anything. They're not paying you anything. And then they get pissed off when you show up somewhere else. Like what? They were going to bring her back to work like a program and the women's title. I mean, like, you know, just kind of fun.
I mean, that's what happens to Goldberg. He gets a phone call and $3 million and, you know, we're ready to go to work again. So, what are thoughts you got on the aftermath, Tom?
Nothing, man. I, you know, it's good stuff, man. It was a hell of a run she had for sure. Were there any write-ups for this?
Yeah. And so, as we've been adding to these, the PWI, she was not ranked on the PWI, unfortunately. And there, and so, you know, that's always sad to see, but, the top wrestlers of this year or that year rather, you had Daniel Bryan was number one. Randy Orton was two. Cena, AJ, that's AJ Styles, not AJ Lee, AJ Styles, and then Okada, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So the match of the year that year, according to PWI, it was actually the last man standing match, Johnson defeating Bray Wyatt. And so interesting us talking about how that not going over and things like that. You got that match there. So
do you have any idea where that match took place? Because I don't remember that match at all.
I don't. I have to look it up real quick. But
yeah, I'm just curious. I don't remember. I mean, it doesn't surprise me they had another match. I just don't even remember that. And for it to win match of the year, I mean, it must have been good. But yeah, I don't recall that at all. Well, no, because they wrestled at WrestleMania 30, but then the last man standing would have been a different time.
Unless that was, I don't know. Well, we'll have to figure that out. After I kind of talk through some of this, I'll definitely.
Interesting. So,
anyways, yeah. So the write-ups, I mean, I'm distracted myself. So, okay. Yeah. So a couple different write-ups, just kind of, you know, I won't go through kind of how this played out and kind of, you know, you can watch it for yourself, but the interesting thing here was Stephanie McMahon got a lot of praise, and this was from, the Wrestling Observer. Stephanie McMahon got a lot of praise for how she looked like the second coming of Vince on Raw in the Vicky Guerrero segments. I don't know how or why, but clearly it finally clicked for her and her husband that they should play into the hardcore fans' perceptions of them. And that got the ball rolling on them being willing to show ass as heels. Her performing instincts have been just tremendous for a while now, getting the most out of everything with little things like her goofy dance when she fired Vicky Guerrero this week, or explaining, "Are you okay, baby?" when Daniel Bryan attacked her husband on the WrestleMania Go Home show. So, why they put Stephanie over, who knows, but a little bit of praise there and kind of having that. And so, you know, it interesting how that kind of played out, but that was really the only write-up, I guess. There was no reviews because it was just kind of a random Raw and nobody really, you know, expected this type of thing. So, Tom, what do you got? What's your score? What are your thoughts? Lay it on.
You know, a couple things. First of all, I mean, I love a good McMahon na 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 song, you know. So the I was cracking up at that. Man, I gotta tell you, for what it was fun. You know, it obviously it wasn't much of a match, but that's not the only thing we talk about in terms of a payoff score. But really, what this was, it was a culmination of a really long run for someone that never thought they'd be in the business, never wanted to be in the business, and probably wouldn't have been in the business if it wasn't for a tragic accident, right? And so we lose Eddie Guerrero way too soon. Next thing you know, this widow who didn't want to be in the business is on TV, arguably one of the best, if not the best heel since Vince McMahon. Okay. She was that good and that hated, had that much heat. And she had this great run, and this was kind of her swan song. The place went nuts when she dumps, Steph into the mud. She gives her tribute to Eddie. You could tell that, you know, and she talked about it, but this was like, you know, hey, we did it, right? We made it. And, for all those reasons, you know, my payoff score on this is an 8. I think it was an awesome culmination of something really special. And I enjoyed it. And I You know, the crowd reaction was great. And again, the very ending there, what a touching thing. And it was, hey, babe, we made it. We did it. We got through this. I hope you're proud of me. You know, man, that's some powerful shit. What about you?
For starters, so that was Payback 2014, was that John Cena Bray Wyatt match of the year. And so that was the main event of that was the Shield versus Evolution. And
I remember that match. Yeah, that was that was a really good match too.
30 minutes right there. Yeah. So I'm going to echo a little bit of what you said. I'll get out of the way. I'm going to give it an 8.2 because I think we've been very fortunate here on the show that, like, she gave her time and really helped us. Like, when we were getting starting, she was one of the first people to talk to us.
Puts a payoff on the map.
She really did. And she was, you know, whether she knows this or not, like you and I, there was that day where we were testing posting and the episode was still up on like some random sites, and it got, you know, for behind the scenes, like somebody put it on Reddit and it blew up on Reddit. And so we were just watching the comments just flowing and flowing and flowing and flowing. And so that was, you know, it was really her talking about that Eddie Brock match that put us on the map in a lot of ways. And so we'll always have to thank her for that. And so, and be in her debt because of that. And, you know, us, you know, not knowing how the internet works and where to post things, but, you know, it worked out in our favor. And I think that too, we have now really covered like her, like the biggest moments of her career. And so I don't think we set out to do that when we started the show, but I think it's fantastic that we had the moment she showed up in wrestling to this moment, which, you know, while it was her retirement match, quote unquote, like she still is involved to a degree. And I think that that's great. And I think that that shows just how well that she is respected in the wrestling world, that especially like AEW brought her in and like to do these things. And I'm sure like she would have never thought of like Vince to shit on them. You know, we hear about this backstage, you know, Renee got in trouble because Mox showed up on one of her videos too. Like, you know, it's just such petty stuff. You think sometimes like the kayfabe is dead, you know, sorry. But I think that like us having this opportunity to talk to her, talk about this match, and like you said, her just being as excited as she is to get into it and talk about it, like that's worth it. And so I too am going to give this one an 8.
Awesome, dude. I love it. Glad we're in alignment there. So take us home and tell everyone where they can find Vicky and thank her for being on the payoff and supporting the show.
Yeah. So of course, like, as I said, at Vicky Guerrero. And so make sure to check her out there. And like I said too, she has her own podcast. She kind of talks to everybody. And so there was Mandy on a recent episode. And of course, Tom, if you had to guess the name of her podcast, do you know what it's called?
Excuse me,
the Vicky Guerrero Show. That's correct. And so she's posting pretty much every week, you know, with some different episodes and things like that. And so make sure to check her out. She's got a budding archive just like we do. And so good to see herself out there being successful, things like that. She's very active on social media too. So just like us at Payoff Pod, she's at Vicky Guerrero. Make sure to check her out. Give her a follow. We always appreciate when she kind of likes the stuff that we post. And she likes our posts on other matches too that she's not even in. And so it's always fun when I see Vicky Guerrero's name pop up and things like that. So Vicky, we appreciate you and thank you for being on the show. So Tom, hopefully you got a good one to close us out this week.
I don't, man. I'm less witty when we record these things at night.
Yeah, no, that's okay. So we'll get through it though, but that's all right.
Thank you as always for joining us on The Payoff.